This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And this hour, we're starting things off by looking at financial challenges that are particular to self-employed people. And I guess just hearing about the issues that they've been facing and hopefully coming up with some sort of solutions. I think that one of the ways in which this manifests really is in the lack of the ability to prove that your income has been affected in as tangible a way as you would be able to if you had a payslip.
Yeah. So the PERMAI package, for instance, right? It does have allocations for people who are, for instance, small business owners, because you have something tangible to produce in terms of profits and so on. But I do think that the term self-employed encompasses a lot of people who aren't necessarily business owners. And one of the criticisms of the PERMAI package that was recently announced was that it doesn't cover these sorts of issues. And there have been calls even dating back to the first MCO, actually, to look at people like freelancers, for instance, gig workers, those who, as you said, Lynn, may not necessarily have a way to prove to financial institutions, to the government, that their income has been hit.
So we've talked a lot about the need to improve protections or to boost aid for SMEs. And there's a good reason for that. It's because they comprise the backbone of the Malaysian business landscape, right? Like they are such a large percentage. And similarly, self-employed people are actually the second biggest group in the Malaysian workforce. So in 2018, for example, there were 2.86 million own account workers out of a total of 14.8 million working adults. So essentially, you are looking at a large group of people who fall into the dreaded gray space when it comes to these sort of financial packages that are announced. Because it's one thing to roll these things out and to talk about the overall large amounts, the billions that are being injected back into the economy. But for the average rakyat, I suppose, trying to figure out where and in what scheme they fit into these necessary requirements, I think that's another thing entirely, and it's made more complicated when you are self-employed.
Yes. Yeah, so last year, actually, the Department of Statistics Malaysia found that nearly 50% of people who are self-employed actually lost their jobs, whereas even those 90% of the ones who are still working are making do with earning less. And that same survey also showed that about more than 70% of the self-employed workers, their savings only lasts, I think, just about a month, which is a sort of scary situation to be in without the safety net of working for an organization.
That's right. And I think, as we mentioned earlier, if you look at the assistance that has been provided for by the government, right, if you think about something like the loan moratorium, especially once it entered the stage where it was targeted assistance, you need to meet a certain set of requirements in order to gain access to that. And I understand that from the government's point of view, right? You don't necessarily want, then what's the difference between doing a all-encompassing loan moratorium versus the targeted assistance? But I think not being aware, or perhaps not taking into account the different ways or the different hoops that people would have to jump through, is kind of, it makes life difficult. So, are you a self-employed person? And have you been facing challenges in 2020, whether it's in terms of loss of income or a job loss for that matter? And have you been finding it difficult to access the financial aid that has been provided for by the government? What are you doing to stay financially secure, really, is the question we're asking. Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to share his perspective is Ravin Shanmugarajan, who is a self-employed creative and wants to, I guess, share what it's like to be self-employed during a pandemic. Ravin, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Hey, hi guys. Hi. What I do, I'm a photographer and also an art director. I've been working in the nightlife and music scene for around 6 years now. And I've been also working in advertising for the last few years. And that's pretty much what I do. I think what I would want to share is that, you know, as someone who worked, who works on gigs and stuff like that, I think it's been hard because MCO doesn't allow that, and we don't have events and stuff like that to actually go and shoot. So we eventually had to go out of our comfort zone to do other jobs and, you know, make the ends meet.
Ravin, could you talk us through some of the specific struggles that you've been facing as a freelancer?
Okay, well, particular struggles would definitely be trying to meet your overheads. Like, people would think that, oh, you know, freelancers are this easygoing kind of people where they don't actually have bills to pay, but we do. We have bills to pay to put food on the table. We also have bills to kind of keep the business running because, you know, for example, like, I'm a photographer and I have to, you know, every month I have to pay for my, you know, creative suite for, you know, the software that I use, and I have to pay for, like, you know, websites and, you know, all your monthly subscriptions that actually aid in you doing your job successfully. And we find it a little bit hard to actually make that happen. So, yeah.
So with all that said, and, you know, in light of the topic we're talking about today, how have you been managing your finances?
Me personally, I think, like you mentioned just now, a safety net. So, you know, the Malaysian creative industry, you know, it's like, it's a bit unpredictable because you're not, you don't know when you're going to be getting jobs or when you're not going to be getting jobs, when the events will be postponed or canceled and stuff like that. So, you know, I usually give myself a buffer where, like, you know, I plan my finances out a few months ahead. So that's easier for me. So when the MCO hit, I was like, okay, I have a few more months to kind of survive and somehow, you know, like, get out of this. And, you know, I was just lucky that the MCO kind of, you know, relaxed a little earlier. So then that kind of, like, helped me go back out and, like, get more jobs and, you know, put food back on the table again. So, yeah.
Ravin, what do you think the government could do in terms of specifically helping self-employed people? What sorts of help would be useful?
I think just identifying the kind of needs that you know, an everyday freelancer would have, like I said, like overhead and stuff like that. If the person can just, you know, pay their bills and every month and eventually, like, use their savings to you know, buy other necessities, I think that'll be fine. If we can actually go, and I know that for the event industry, they find it hard to get financial aid because it's hard to define exactly, you know, what the overheads are and all that. In the government, it's a bit difficult for them to do so. And I find that if the government just recognizes freelancers and, you know, the kind of financial aid that they would need, I think that would actually help a lot, you know, because month to month, we're just trying to, like, keep everything running, you know. If they can help us keep it running, at least we can focus on sustenance.
Ravin, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Okay, cool.
That was Ravin Shanmugarajan, a self-employed creative. After this, we'll be speaking to Lynette Lee, who is the CEO of the Financial Planning Association of Malaysia, or FPAM, for a perspective of how, I suppose, the self-employed can access financial aid and take further steps towards financial security and stability. Are you somebody who is self-employed and have you been finding it challenging? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:17 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about the challenges that are unique to self-employed people who are actually the second biggest group in the Malaysian workforce and may have some difficulty accessing the sort of targeted assistance that the government has been putting forth, because that targeted assistance is dependent in many ways on you being able to show that you have had a drop in income. And, I mean, I don't know, showing people your invoices, I don't know if that's enough, right? Compared to the ease of understanding you get with a simple payslip.
I think also just understanding the ecosystem that freelancers work in, which isn't very, which isn't as defined as, say, an eatery or a laundry or whatever. You know, businesses that have a brick and mortar sort of presence that can provide finances. I think it's very different depending on what kind of self-employment you have.
Yeah. So are you somebody who is self-employed? And, you know, do you find that it has been a bit of a struggle reaching some form of financial security last year and also accessing the assistance that the government has provided? Call us with your thoughts and your stories. 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, joining us is Lynette Lee, CEO of the Financial Planning Association of Malaysia, to speak about this very subject. Lynette, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome, Lynn and Shamila.
So could you first give us an idea of who falls within this self-employed category?
And the category is very broad. I just listened to the earlier caller, and he is also self-employed, but he's in a way, he has a skill, a vocation, and it's easier for him to be able to manage because he can understand and able to plan for himself. However, I'm looking at the other end of the spectrum. For example, if someone is a tailor or even the man who car wash, every week I see the person who washes car at my condo, and I see his business grow before the MCO. As more and more people get his business, he'll bring in more of his friends to work with him. But now that the MCO has happened and he has no job, how would he manage? Because if you look at what we have, in this case, what the government has provided, a lot of them are wage subsidies. And to your point that you brought up earlier, how are you going to prove that you have a wage? And also, the self-employed, sometimes they don't differentiate between their business income and their personal, their business expenses and their personal expenses. It's a two-in-one. So how then do they draw the line, and where are they going to be able to prove that their income has been impacted? This is something which financial planners have always been advising their clients who are self-employed to always have a different set of accounts so that they're able to do that. But now it's too late because the MCO has happened, and if they've not done it, they are in a predicament.
Lynette, what other challenges, or, you know, how has this general situation been made worse because of MCO 2.0?
Well, anyone who is in this category and who has survived the MCO, the first MCO, they would probably have depleted most of their savings that they have. And also, because the jobs that are available has really been trickled down. So with the second MCO, jobs are even less now, unless they're willing to look at how they can change. For example, if you were to talk about someone who's educated, can read, can write, they can probably take up a training program and reinvent themselves and do something else. But for those who don't, whose skill is either sewing or even washing cars, what would one expect them to transform themselves into? Unless you are going to talk about maybe the food industry, where delivery is required, people to help at a warehouse, then perhaps those are the jobs that they can do. I've heard of tourist guides who actually went into real estate agency because higher level properties are now moving because people who have money, who's been saving for property, they are now taking advantage of the home ownership campaign, which is within that category of property. They are starting to buy property. So these are the people who can help themselves by going into real estate agency. For people who are like in accounting and in the manufacturing, if they have problems, they can always take up the CFP program, become a licensed financial planner, fine. My concern is more for those people who only know one skill, may not be able to read and write so proficiently. How then can we help them? How do we provide for them? For those who are business, who are consultants or freelancers, I think what the government could do, if the government is able to do, will be to probably either get the banks or get some people who are willing to contribute and put up a small fund to help these people to be able to continue to pay for their business expenses. And then so that they can continue to earn. So, and when they can continue to earn the money that they receive, then they'll be able to put aside for their personal expenses and later on continue with their business. Just like the caller earlier example that was given, you know, the software that he has to subscribe to. These are the things that, you know, they need for them to continue to earn money.
So for people who are maybe feeling a little bit lost and a bit at sea with everything that's going on, what avenues, if they're self-employed, what avenues can they explore in terms of financial aid right now? Where can they go? What can they look for?
I suppose what they could do would be they have to look at other avenues that is available. Like, for example, those who look at the reskilling, upskilling, and then they look at where there is a need for services. Actually, even healthcare services, I think they're quite strapped. They're looking for people as well. But sometimes we are quite scared to also go and help. When I say healthcare, it's not necessary to become nurses or become doctors, because I think it's more to support the healthcare the healthcare industry itself. Like, for example, there was a picture that showed that the centers where people are held in quarantine, there's no one to wash the bathroom. There's no one to administer the food. So the food comes late, it turns bad. So I think these are where people need help. And these are areas which they can consider putting going in and being employed to do that. But there are also risks that they will have to run, because working in such centres, you are also exposed to a certain extent. So, well, I suppose for the self-employed, depending on which category that you are in, you need to be able to know where you can. The other area that you can actually go for help will be your trade in this, your trade associations, because I know that a lot of trade associations are also trying to help their own. For example, the small traders under the Pasar Malam, just I think a few days ago, they were trying to talk to the government to see whether the government would consider let them continue to do business, but with SOPs in place. So it's good for them to be able to have a trade association to help them to get through this pandemic as well.
Lynette, when it comes to these self-employed people, when they're looking at their budget right now, based on what they're able to earn, what are some ways that they can, maybe get a little bit of financial stability and security?
Well, okay. So if we talk about a going concern, meaning that a registered company and they're running a small business, I'm not talking about those at the other end of the spectrum. Actually, the P2P lending and the crowdfunding is one area where they can look at it, especially if their business is ongoing. It's just that the pandemic has reduced a little bit, but they know that once they write through the MCO and things go back to normal, their business go back and they can repay. So this is just for that period of time. This could be one avenue they can look at. The other avenue is to go back to the banks and ask them for help. But they must do up their accounts. What they need to do is they need to be able to justify which are their business expenses and which are personal expenses. And the business expenses, they need to calculate how much they will need to survive, how much money they can expect to earn with a little bit of financial aid there, and how are they going to pay back the loan that they take. If they are able to work that out, then I think if they speak to the bank, I don't think the bank would turn them down, especially if they have been good paymasters in the past.
Hmm. Leonard, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too. That was Leonard Lee, CEO of the Financial Planning Association of Malaysia, or FPAM, talking about the financial challenges that are unique to the self-employed and, I suppose, avenues that can be explored right now to gain aid as well as financial security and stability. So we want to know, are you self-employed? What are the challenges that you've been facing? Or conversely, what tips do you have in terms of staying financially secure and stable in this period? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Just briefly, we do have Majid on WhatsApp saying, it's been pretty tough for the self-employed. Being an entrepreneur, we have chosen to contribute to the Malaysian ecosystem and make it stand out in the international scene. But man, these MCOs are really making it tough.
Yeah, I think the repeated, sort of opening and then closing and then changing of status has been tough because it's difficult to make any long-term plan.
Yeah, exactly. So what has it been like for you if you're self-employed? We want to hear. Again, those numbers, call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.